Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Jason.
Yes.
I have good news for you.
Yes.
Dr. Hockey Podcast has a new sponsor, SeatGeek.
That's awesome. I have the app on my phone.
The app is amazing. I recommend everybody who's listening, download the app for SeatGeek. If you're going to buy seats for any kind of concert, sporting event, whatever.
Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals.
Stanley whatever Cup you want. Final. You can get them on SeatGeek. And with the promo code Dr. Hockey, DrHockey, you can get $20 off of your first purchase.
Amazing.
We recommend it. We use SeatGeek. It's easy. It's very simple. $20 off on your first purchase. Use the promo code Dr. Hockey. That's all I got for you.
Awesome.
And the goaltender, Tuukka Rask, has his second shutout of these playoffs, his seventh of his playoff career.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to a special weekend edition of the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I am in New Orleans, Louisiana, NOLA, as they like to call it here, Jason Berkley, on Skype, coming to me from the Valley. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. No, I'm home. You're the world traveler, not me.
This is a 10-pounder. You know what that is?
No.
It's when you go to a city and you come back with 10 pounds of additional weight.
Oh. Yeah, I had a different answer. I'm glad I didn't say it.
That would be funny. But the food here is so good, I can't take it. I mean, the Cajun cooking is just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of it's all fried and everything else. I just don't eat that. But I'm sure it's as good eatings. And, you know, maybe just at least put on 5, not 10 pounds.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to hit the gym. We'll make it work. They don't know anything about hockey here in New Orleans. So maybe if we do this episode from New Orleans, that somebody will download the Dr. Hockey Podcast and think about a team for the Bayou.
Sure. I mean, I think they need somebody else to distract them from that horrible no-call for pass interference in the championship game, which, speaking of which, of horrible no-calls.
I know.
I mean, come on. Let's just get right into the meat of this right now, okay? I know we'll go through our playoff roundup in a minute, but
Timo Meier.
I cannot stress enough how much – okay, let me back up a minute. Let me put my thoughts here for a second. I think instant replay is great, and I certainly think that there's no question in my mind that it's helped sports by and large.
The technology's there. That's right.
The technology's there. We have the technology. Like they said in $6 Million Man, we have the technology.
We can rebuild.
But then they start to splinter it off into these stupid rules sometimes of this is reviewable, but that's not reviewable, and this is not reviewable. You know what? I think, as they do in the NFL, which I think the NFL has gotten right a majority of the time, is any scoring play is reviewed.
Sure.
And I don't want to hear any BS from the NHL saying, well, this was not a reviewable play because of this or that. It's a goal. It is not just a playoff game, but it is the Western Conference final. And you don't allow the fact that 4 knucklehead referees couldn't see the fact that it was a hand pass as clear as day. That not one of them saw that, I find completely embarrassing, especially because the play was right in front of the goal. It wasn't spread out. There wasn't like 3 guys on one area. It was all 4 guys converging on one area right in front of the net.
How did they not see it? They're all there. The puck should be their focus. What is happening to the puck should be their focus.
Well, that's the key. There should be their focus. I honestly have no idea. I think the refs for that game were incompetent, and I don't think they should ever do any of them individually should ever do another playoff game ever again. I'm sorry. There has to be some kind of reprimand, some kind of nonsense crap call like they did with the whole Vegas thing with Pavelski getting knocked over. Where was it? Vegas, was it? Or maybe I'm mistaken.
No, it was Vegas. It was Cody.
It was Vegas.
Yeah, Cody Eakin.
When Pavelski got knocked to the ground in a clean, no penalty play, gets called for this, and it was completely inappropriate. The Sharks have benefited twice from the fact that, quote, the refs didn't see the whole thing.
Right.
And I'm getting a little tired of an outcome of a game. I don't care. And then people will say, well, there are no calls both ways. No, I'm sorry. There wasn't a goal that was disallowed or allowed because of a no call for that would benefit the Blues.
Right. So here's the thing.
You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Now, I can tell you that I could have made the call that was a hand pass, and everybody else on the ice did too. The fact of the matter is, you know, one of the questions that I had today when I was on CBS Las Vegas was, do you think the officiating's gotten better or worse over the years? Now, I've been watching hockey a long time, and so have you. And the officiating is better. I mean, the stuff that I used to see in Pittsburgh or in Madison Square Garden, I can tell you, was abysmal. There were things that were just so bad, like on a regular basis.
It's like it was like big time wrestling where the guy's got him in a chokehold, and he's like saying, "No, everything's okay. The ref's in there for no reason." It was worthless.
Yeah,
I agree with you. The officiating has gotten better. I agree with you.
So, with that said, we should use the replay. I agree with you that on any scoring play that how the goal happened should be reviewable. I don't think you have to review everyone and say, okay, everybody wait, let's make sure it's kosher. I think that if there's a question and that was clearly questionable, then go upstairs. You've got the guys in Toronto watching every game. Like, use it.
I'll go one step further. Anytime there's a goal or blood on the ice, you review the play.
I like that.
Because these game misconducts, like in the Pavelski situation, it would have clearly been rectified that it wasn't a penalty. It was an unfortunate hit, and he got banged around like a pinball, and he fell to the ice on, you know, when he couldn't control it and got hurt. No question it was unfortunate, but it wasn't a penalty. And it's something that led to the demise of – not just the demise of having a penalty called, but a penalty where basically they were on a permanent power play. And yes, people say, well, the Vegas Golden Knights should have then been able to stop a power play and kill it off. I don't disagree with that, but it shouldn't have happened in the first place. Just like this goal should not have happened, and it should not have ended the game there. And you know what? Good. I'm glad St. Louis came out and won game three. They deserved it. I'm sorry, game four. They deserved it. They should have come out. Actually, the Blues, frankly, in my opinion, should be up 3-1 over the Sharks.
Right. Agreed. Here's the other part of that, Jason, that I forget who was, but they said, do you think that penalty cost them the playoffs? And I said, no. I think that the Vegas Golden Knights were up 3-1 in that series.
Yes.
They lost two in a row. They couldn't put it away. And there's a percentage of those teams that are up 3-1 that do ultimately lose, and it's not a big percentage. I think it's something like 16% or something. But they were up 3-1. They lose two. They're in a game seven. They're on a 5-minute, you know, permanent power play. Four goals in 5 minutes?
No, listen, it was a complete breakdown of the team. It wasn't that. They should have actually closed that series out even before that game even was played.
Of course, and that's the whole
thing. I'm not going to dispute that. But what I'm saying is that if you look at that microscopic moment that changes the momentum, or a goal off of a hand pass or off a high stick, if the stick is over the net, you know, or the crossbar, these are things that are important to be able to review if there's a goal scored. You know, that should be a no-brainer. You know, they can do all they want, and I've heard people say, well, if they had review for everything, the games will be 8 hours long. And I don't disagree. They shouldn't review everything. But every time there's a goal scored, regardless, it should be reviewed.
Well, I would say if somebody asked for it, because I don't think you want to take all that time to review. I mean, let's make sure everything's cool. I mean,
not even for an official review where they're questioning the refs, but just looked at by Toronto in Toronto to make sure it's actually a goal.
Yeah, no, I agree. That they should be watching, and they should have the ability to call down to the ice and be like,
yes,
there's a problem.
Hold off on the faceoff. Wait a minute. The goal's under review. We're looking at it. There's something we're looking at. You know, and if here's the thing, they're not going to call if there's goaltender interference. They're not going to call. That should be up to the opposing coach to call for an actual official review. Okay, I'm not going to question that. But what I'm talking about is when there's something like a hand pass or like a high stick or, you know, whatever else, that should be something that should be looked at, or at least have the ability for the opposing coach to want to have it reviewed. How is it not, quote, reviewable? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
At the very least, have any scoring play available for review by the opposing coach, and that's it. So, you know what? I hope St. Louis beats San Jose in this round. And I'm saying that not because I dislike San Jose, which I do, but I think St. Louis got robbed on that. And personally, I have something to gain by San Jose going to the Stanley Cup Finals, and that the Wings get a better pick for the Nyquist trade. So I have something to gain by the Sharks winning. I just despise that franchise. And then Carlson's cavalier attitude about it in the press conference pissed off me and a lot of other hockey fans. I'm sorry, but that the way he was acting about it, you know, it was really just, I think, kind of Bush League.
Well, I agree. I will tell you that I've said it on this podcast a bunch of times, and I said it today on the news. The thing that's driving the San Jose Sharks team is Hurdle, Couture, and Timo Meier. These three guys want the cup, and they want it so bad they're literally dragging the rest of the guys along with them because the other guys aren't playing at the level that these three guys are. Couture is single-handedly, like, he's making the difference. And Timo Meier is, and they want the cup. They're cup hungry. St. Louis, I think, is also. I think that they can see it. Like, there's a, you know, the cup is in sight for a franchise that's never had it. I mean, granted, both these franchises never had it. And guess what? I think just as Borat said in his description of his brother in the cage, you know, one day he break cage, you know, he says, you're never going to get this. You're never going to get this. I think right now Boston is there saying, you're never going to get this. You're never going to get this. And they're going to need to break cage to get this. So,
well,
we'll see what happens, but I don't think either of these teams are winning the Stanley Cup. I think Boston is on a rest right now, and it's going to be tough to beat that team.
I don't, you know what, as I said, and I mentioned this before, I did pick Boston, even though on the record I said it was going to be Carolina. I did change my pick during game one of that series when it was tied 1-1. So, Lauren, too bad. I'm not a Johnny-come-lately, as you mentioned, or whatever term you used. I did agree that Boston's going to win that. But
Lauren, our yes, fearless PR leader.
Yes.
Somebody did comment that she's the only one on the podcast who knows anything about hockey. So, I mean, you got to take that for what it's worth.
I don't doubt that.
Well, let's talk about Tuukka Rask. Because remember, we always said that the team that wins the Stanley Cup has a hot goalie. And I'm looking around at these teams. I think that the Boston Bruins have a hot goalie. Do you agree?
So, just to quote, not to quote, but to comment on your question, yes, Rask is unbelievably hot at this moment. And I was reading an article that mentioned the comparison for the first three rounds through 17 games of Tim Thomas when they won the Cup in 2011 through Rask right now. And basically, Rask has allowed 32 goals through three rounds. At the time, Tim Thomas allowed 43 goals, okay, just to give you an idea. He'd only faced 549 shots and had a 942 save percentage, Rask does, in the 2019 playoffs. At the same period, Tim Thomas had faced 603 shots and had a 929 percentage. Okay? So you're talking about a cup-winning goaltender for the Bruins 8 years ago and the most likely cup winner for the Boston Bruins in 2019, Tuukka Rask. So the stats for Thomas back then were great. Rask is in the stratosphere. So there's two reasons for that. Number one, he's playing great. No one's gonna question that. Number two, such a phenomenal defense in front of him. I actually think that right now that, frankly, Zdeno Chara is a bit of a liability for them out there. But the defense is playing incredibly well. Guys, even on the offense, are going down and blocking shots. It's really just a full team effort. They're clicking on all cylinders. I don't see anybody from the West winning. And we've talked about it before that the teams in the East are better than the West. So That's your roundabout answer to your question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Boston, and you've got Bergeron, who's playing the best I've seen him play in a long while. You've got Pastrnak, who's really upped his game. And he's come back from that injury. He's on fire. And then you've got, this Brad Marchand has buckled down and wants to win the cup, so I don't think this is and then you've got all the McAvoys and the Backes and Tuukka Rask. I mean, this team.
But that's just it, though. You're getting points and you're getting intangibles from guys that aren't big names per se.
Right.
And that's how the team wins cups. It was the same thing. If you go back and look at the last 20 cup winners, even last 30 cup winners, I guarantee you go on the score sheet, look at last year alone. Devontae Smith-Pelly was, in my opinion, the MVP of last year's playoff run and the cup run. That's who I would have picked.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, you definitely see that.
They don't win. Washington does not win the cup last year without Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Well, I would also there was one series that I remember in 2008-2009, and I'll never forget I forget which game it was, but it was – as the Penguins were winning the cup, I remember one of the announcers went, "Talbot, looking for the hat trick." And I was like, when is Max Talbot in the Stanley Cup final looking for the hat trick? I mean, Talbot was a great player, but he was on fire and wanted the cup more than anybody.
That's exactly my point. Guys that don't produce, that are able to raise their game in the playoffs, are the type of players that go along with a cup winner. If you don't have those kind of guys, you're not going to win a cup. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look back at even my I had a conversation with Oleg Tverdovsky. It was like, I don't know, maybe like the fifth or sixth Dr. Hockey podcast that we did. Oleg said, the thing about the Stanley Cup is that it seems to follow certain guys around. And, things go on in these games that are, the puck bounces a certain way and you get a lucky break, you get a call or whatever, as Pastrnak says on that Dunkin' Donuts commercial, "Hey ref, check your voicemail. You missed some calls." That's the truth. It's like these guys get the breaks and that's who finally emerges. But I'm telling you, if the Sharks make it and get to the Stanley Cup, it will depend on the play of those three guys. If Couture, Hertl, and Timo Meier do what I think that they can do, they are the X factor. The Sharks could beat Boston.
Oh, I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so at all. First of all, they got to get past St. Louis.
They're going to get past St. Louis. St. Louis doesn't have the fire. They looked good last night. I will say this. Okay, game four, I'm going to give St. Louis a huge kudos for coming back from that missed call and doing exactly what you're supposed to do, which is like, that's in the past. I need to go forward.
Well, I don't know. Right now, the bottom line is that Boston's playing great hockey and I don't see anybody beating them. So I think it's a moot point whoever comes out of the West.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, if there's a shock,
unless there's another funky call or no call, where a guy takes out an AK-47 and shoots the entire team and they don't call a penalty for that, something crazy. I don't know.
That could happen. I could see that. I mean, it is in Boston, if they're going to be in Boston,
you get my drift though.
I know.
We didn't see anything. What are you talking about? What happened? That's a good goal.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet you that
it's unreviewable when there's firearms on the ice.
Firearms, I think there was a time in hockey where firearms would have been allowed, though. I definitely remember that time.
Probably the 70s.
for sure. I mean, I remember those first games that I'd go to, and it was like, God, the fans were just – they were like rabid dogs. They just wanted blood. They wanted to see somebody's head come off their body.
Yeah, well, hence the motivation for Slapshot.
Well, here's the deal. We are going to be Tuesday night over in the offices of one Pat Brisson, and we will be talking about not only what's going on with the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we'll talk about what happened at the trade deadline that made a difference to how these playoffs have shaken out and who's going to win the Stanley Cup. And also, I think we should do a little preview of the upcoming draft, because there's a lot of, like, the strategy of handling that draft definitely determines outcomes over the next season and the sure. couple seasons after.
Absolutely.
So, Jason, anything else on these on the hand pass? Anything else on the Pavelski travesty and the four goals in 5 minutes?
No, listen. I mean, listen. The 4 goals in 5 minutes is on the Golden Knights, and it, like I said, they should have won the series well before that game was even played. I just want to see the refs get these calls right and have a game that's not affected and the outcome directly affected by a bad call or a bad no call. And like I said, I think all the fans in New Orleans can appreciate what I'm trying to say after what they went through.
Absolutely. I mean, it is. It's a very similar deal. So, all right. Well, let's reconvene on Tuesday evening. That'll be live on our Instagram, and then I think also the YouTube channel. And then obviously that one will go up on Thursday. But I'm going to try to put this one up for tomorrow, and we'll see how the Blues and the Sharks match up tomorrow.
Go Blues.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Catch ya.
That'll do it. The Boston Bruins will play for the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
So the playoffs in the NHL can be quite unpredictable. I want to know how much money you just lost on Tampa Bay Lightning getting swept in the first round. I suggest that you go check out our new sponsor, mybookie.ag. Betting on these games is always fun, and you can see how winning is a culture for some teams, and for other teams, it is so difficult for them to get through these playoffs. So mybookie.ag has been in business for years. They pay out in days, and you'll get your money fast when you win. There's a 24/7 customer service line that can take care of anything via live chat or phone, and they really love hockey. We think that if you are going to bet on the Stanley Cup Finals, that you should bet with mybookie.ag. When you go online, there's an opportunity for you to put in for a bonus with your first deposit. You'll get 50 cents on every dollar you deposit with mybookie.ag. You'll use the promo code Dr. Hockey, DrHockey, very easy, no spaces, no periods, no nothing, just Dr. Hockey, and you will get 50 cents for every dollar you deposit. That's a one-time deal for your first deposit, and then you can start betting right away. There are some rules you should read about that, about the payouts, so I recommend you look at that because you can't put in your money, take the 50 cents on a dollar, and then withdraw your deposit because you're not going to get paid for nothing. So I recommend that you figure out whether you want to do that bonus deal. Again, it's promo code Dr. Hockey. Get yourself back into the black with mybookie.ag.